I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB, sitting with François-Xavier Rote, who is here with the Boston Symphony for the second time, and it's so good to have you back. Thank you for taking a few minutes with me.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, the program that you've constructed here has this sort of thread running through it, and I think it's a really cool way to organize a program. At least I think this is how you organized it. It is essentially Germanic music, but all with a connection to France. Is that basically what you were trying to put together with this program?
Yes, the common point of these three works is really how the French did influence music in their time, and which is a very special time after the French Revolution, La Révolution Française. I started from the third of Beethoven, Eroica, and I did build the whole program with this idea, how the French did influence composers like Mozart, composers like Beethoven, not maybe in their style, but in the way that all these new ideas that came from the Révolution Française did affect the composers. So that's the theme, and we can have it in mind. We can have it not in mind. It's equal for the audience, but it's really built on this idea.
And I was fascinated to get to learn a little of the music of Gossec, not a composer I admit that I had been familiar with before. Would French audiences be more familiar with his music?
No, but you know, in France, music is very often, especially French musicians, composers are not so celebrated in their own country. Unfortunately, with Berlioz, it's the same. For a long time, with Rameau, was the same. Gossec is not so much played, but I have to say that I perform his music very often with a great pleasure, and I'm very, very excited to bring this composer here in Boston, because I think it's the first time the orchestra play some Gossec symphony, and it is really a fascinated musician. He lived more than 95 years, could you imagine, in this time? So that means that he was born like a child of Johann Sebastian Bach, and he died when he could meet Berlioz. So it's fascinating to see in this time, and not only the length of his life, but also in a way the way that his music developed through the periods. So and this particular symphony, La Symphonie en 17 parties, is a work which probably has been written for the anniversary of the Révolution Française. And I think it's really exciting to see that this work and Beethoven's Eroica are very close in terms of years. And Beethoven Eroica is a little bit before. And it's fascinating to see how Gossec did develop his own language, which is absolutely nothing to do with Beethoven, but to do with Haydn in his own way. So it's, I think, exciting.
And is there anything, if you compare it to playing or conducting a Haydn symphony, how different is it? Is there anything you do differently with Gossec that you might not do with Haydn?
I mean, the music is different in the way that Gossec, like many French composers, are more interested sometimes with experiences than efficiency. And you can see in the form, in the structure, in the way that he organizes the orchestra, it's something very original. It's nothing to do with Haydn, or Haydn also is original in his way, but there are much more experimentation in Gossec, and this is exciting.
And just you saying that brings to mind, it maybe not musically, but in a spiritual sense maybe, it's almost a forerunner of Satie, music of experience, not so much of structure or organization, but of an experience from moment to moment.
Yes, it's so. We can find that already with Rameau. Jean-Philippe Rameau is an experimentateur. and Debussy, until Boulez. You know, all this French music sometimes is so complex at the beginning because it's not pragmatic. It's like we are in a laboratoire. And with Gossec, it's really the same, really the same. And I think that he was a great friend of Mozart. We can hear that in the second movement. Mozart apparently was fascinated by his Requiem, Gossec. And in the Mozart Requiem, we can find many, many quotes of Gossec's music. So it's really an unknown, important composer.
Okay, so speaking of Mozart, you chose specifically the Concerto for Flute and Harp. And there are other pieces by Mozart that would have a connection to France. There's plenty of others. But what was it about this piece that made you want to take it on as part of this program?
I mean, because it's really the famous concerto which was written in Paris. It was the time where when Mozart came to Paris with his mother. And there is another concerto who was written in Paris, the Sinfonia Concertante for Winds, which is unfortunately lost. We don't have the original parts. But the Flute and Harp Concerto is the famous Mozart concerto which was written in Paris. And it's interesting also to see how Mozart, in this specific work, also in the Pariser Symphony, he was influenced by the French orchestras. The French orchestras in Europe were very special. It was not like in Germany or in Austria, the size of the orchestra were quite reasonable with very, very parallel forces in the orchestra, the winds and the strings. In Paris, it was famous that the orchestra were huge. So it was a time where you could find 10, 12 double basses in orchestra. Forces that today we can't find a specific reason why 18, 16 second violins, 6 or 8 bassoons, and very few violas. So it was at the time the fame in Paris, la mode, and the famous orchestra of this time in Paris was Le Concert Spirituel. It was a beautiful orchestra, very brilliant, and Mozart wrote many works for this brilliant orchestra.
I love everything you're saying here because it's drawing other connections in my mind. And now it doesn't seem so absurd, but why it's maybe not so out of the question that Berlioz would have thought of such large orchestras. It was already in the air from a few decades earlier.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. There is this tradition in France.
Yeah. Okay, so the last time you were here, you conducted Beethoven's Fourth Symphony. And one of the things that you told me, which I just love, is that you said every Beethoven symphony, each one of them gives us a chance to ask what the purpose of music is or where music plays in our life. And I just have to ask, how does the Eroica Symphony play in our lives?
Well, I mean, it's true that Beethoven, when he writes every time a symphony, he doesn't think of a catalogue. He thinks that a symphony is an occasion to also experiment, to say something about his life, his thoughts. And for sure, Eroica is such a fascinating example of how was Beethoven in this period. It's a time when he wanted to live in Paris because he found before that Napoleon was a great guy. He was fascinated by the Revolution, by all the intellectuals and the philosophers from Paris. He found that in France and Paris, it was moving more than anywhere else in Europe. Naturally, after that, after the couronnement de Napoléon, he was not happy anymore with Napoléon Bonaparte. He found that he was an imposter. But I think, anyway, this revolution aspect, mood, go through the symphony. It is not anymore, for the first time, very rational form of music, the symphony becomes something huge, something gigantesque. How do we say in English?
Gigantic.
Gigantic. Never before a symphony was long as Eroica. Never before an orchestra sounded like 5 or 10 orchestra, so loud and so soft in the beginning of second movement. It is a work that every time, I think, for me as a performer, fascinates me. There is a miracle of Eroica. And for me, even more than with the Fifth Symphony. The Fifth, for sure, is also something quite intense. But I mean, Eroica, and also in the turn of performing this music, I said to the Boston Symphony Orchestra, before Eroica, and still in Eroica, it is not a time when conductors exist. The conductor job doesn't exist. But with Eroica, it's the first music where you can really notice how is it possible to play without a conductor. And this is a good example to describe the avant-garde of this music. He doesn't think pragmatically. He thinks only music, and with new elements also in the way that how can we coordinate musicians together? He doesn't care. He writes for the future.
And in that sense, it circles right back to what you were saying earlier about French music in general, that it's not so much pragmatic or practical, or it's about the emotion and the spirit of the music. Yeah,
exactly. And with Beethoven, really, and with this work, I always think people say very often that Eroica is the first romantic work in music history. But I think for me, it's much more than that. It's the first really modern music. And I love the way that and we're gonna have surprises, because I did rework the autograph. You know, there is such stories about Beethoven's symphony parts. I mean, when he was still alive, there were so many mistakes because simply the publishers didn't understand his music and didn't trust the notation of Beethoven. And recently I discovered again with the autograph of Eroica that certainly at the beginning of the finale, when he gives the theme before the variations, certainly there is something special, and we're going to play it with the Boston Symphony. I think it's the first time in Boston also that the orchestra will play in this solution.
Oh, wow, this is something real to look forward to. As we speak, word has just spread through today that Pierre Boulez has passed away at the age of 90, a long, rich life. It's hard to imagine another musician who's had more impact on the world than he has, and certainly a French musician. I can't imagine someone from the last century having more of an impact. What are your thoughts? Did you know Maestro Boulez?
I had the opportunity to be very close of him. First, I met him as an assistant conductor when I was assistant conductor of the London Symphony in 2000. And then he invited me very, very often to conduct his Ensemble Intercontemporain. And when I was nominated in Germany at the Südwestrundfunk Orchestra, the orchestra is based in Baden-Baden and Freiburg, where he lived. So we spent a lot of time together. I'm very lucky because I don't know how many dinners or lunch we spent together. And I asked him thousands of questions. And I am so, so sad in a way today. But as I saw him recently, he was really in not good conditions. And in a way, also, I feel very happy in a way, because this death, which is very sad for sure, is a kind of liberation. And this man gave so much to the musicians and so much for the musical life. I wrote this morning that he's, from my point of view, the greatest composer alive that passed away today. But he's not only a great composer, he's also a fascinating musician who really forced, with a very dynamic gesture, forced us to believe in the future. So he did invent new structures, new institutions. Sometimes he was very rude to the orchestra or to the opera company to provoke them and to insist to program this program and this program. And I think that everything that he gave, we're going to discover his legacy now. And we are all sad because he was I can't say, there is not good words. I can't say a god, because he was nothing religious. I can't say a guide, but he was such like a son, you know? A son, everybody can take the warmth of a son. Everybody can have an impact, personal impact. Boulez was a son for music.
And I love the idea that he forced people to believe in the future, something that the orchestral world doesn't necessarily always think about the future.
But you know, when we spoke, and it was so interesting for me because, I mean, my generation, we don't have to fight so much like he did. But for example, when he conducted the first of Wojciech by Alban Berg in Paris Opera, not a single musician in the orchestra wanted to play this music. He had to convince every musician, and the same for Schoenberg, the same for Bartok, in many, many orchestras. I mean, it was really a fight, and nothing to talk with, for sure, the more modern piece like Stockhausen, his own music, or Berlioz. So he was really a pioneer and somebody who radically changed the way that we can take risk with music. And it's something that I like so much. Music is nothing to do with a museum. Music is to do with shaking us as people. And so he was great also for that.
François Xavier Roth, thank you so much for those comments and for the time you spent today.
My pleasure.